It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Excluding last weekend, because it was Easter, we've been looking at these verses for a little while. I'm going to try and finish that today. I hope it's not a relief, but if it is, there you go. So, let me try and recap and close. I'm facing an enemy that's not flesh and blood. And I am not strong enough in my own power to stand against him. So I need to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power and put on the full armor of God. And ultimately, the issue of standing against the enemy relies on his strength. My enemy is the father of lies. He's the deceiver of the whole world. So I need to put on the belt of truth. It matters that I know what truth is and where it is found. That Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And I don't want to be undermining or dismissing what the Word of God says is truth because it doesn't align with how I feel or what I think in particular moments. I don't want to be dishonest or disobedient. I don't want to pursue my preferences over truth. And I don't want to live in pretense, acting like I'm something I'm not. I want to walk in truth so that when the day of evil comes, I'm ready to stand. Part of that truth is that in Christ I have been made righteous. But the invitation in Scripture is to practice righteousness, having been made righteous, that I live righteously. So I need to ruthlessly eliminate sin from my life. I don't need to make space for it. I need to deal with it. I need to tackle it. I don't need to excuse it because it's not as bad as what I think other people's sin might be. I need to deal with my sin. It's not okay because people don't know. It's still sin and it's still destructive. I don't want to get caught up in the stuff that easily entangles me and be tripped up by it. I don't want to give the devil a foothold, so I want to live righteously. And I need to know that I'm at peace with God and that the challenges and difficulties I face are not because I'm not at peace with God. That the hardships of life are not there because me and God are at odds. I'm at peace with God this morning through the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's how I have peace with God. He reconciled me. I didn't earn it. I'm not working my way to it. I am at peace with God this morning. Whatever happens, whatever comes my way. And when the lies and taunting voice of an enemy come at me telling me that I need to do something to make this right in order to change my circumstances, I want to stand in the fact that I'm at peace with God this morning. But because I'm at peace with God, I want to live at peace with other people as well. And I need to have a conviction that even though I can't see some stuff right now, God is still at work. That even though it's not obvious right now, God is still doing. He's still at work to will and to act for his good purpose. That what he has begun in me, he is seeing through to completion. That he's going to make all things work together for good. And so I need the shield of faith to extinguish all the fiery darts of the enemy. That there's nothing the enemy can throw at me if I stand in faith, believing God will do what he said he will do. And it matters that I know I'm saved. It matters that I know nothing can snatch me out of his hand this morning. That I belong to him and I'm his always, forever. Done. But I am also going to be saved when Christ returns to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And this is not the sum of it. And so I live in the hope of salvation as well. There's something better coming. And it matters that I get hold of the word of God. I recognize its importance for all of this. Build my foundation and practice out of it. And hold to its truth. Why did you take so long to say it in the first place then, Josh? So Paul concludes those verses we've read together, saying, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I've come to tell you this morning, it matters that you pray. It matters that you pray. On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Colossians 4 and verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Philippians 4 and verse 6, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jude 1 and verse 20, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. The encouragement of Scripture is that you pray always. Not just when it's going bad, not just when you need something. The encouragement of Scripture is you pray on all occasions. It's not reserved for a particular circumstance. I'm invited to pray without ceasing and to pray about every situation. The children are praising the Lord, in case you weren't aware, which is great. And perhaps part of our challenge with prayer is the frustration that it doesn't seem to change the circumstances immediately. Fair? That if we're honest, at times we come to God asking for him to make a difference in a particular situation. And then it doesn't seem to change. And we're disappointed. and trying to work out how to make prayer work. Right? How do I get God to do what I want him to do? Can I just be clear with you this morning? Prayer is not you talking to a subordinate being, telling him to do something on your behalf. It is not you bringing instructions to God, telling him how to run the world. It is not you coming to him saying, here's what you need to do, and this is how it works. And if the sum of your prayer life is that, and if the sum of your expectation is that you come to God, you tell him what he needs to do, and he does it, you're going to be disappointed. Because he's God. And his ways are not your ways. And his thoughts are not your thoughts. And the distinguishing feature between them is as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways higher than your ways and his thoughts than your thoughts. So if you think you can tell him what to do and he'll just go okay, because you must be right, you've misunderstood who he is. And often we're missing the value of prayer because we're disappointed that God didn't do what I told him to. Philippians 4 doesn't tell me to pray in every circumstance so that in every circumstance I get what I want. It tells me to pray in every circumstance so that I get peace instead of anxiousness. Right? It's not that God does what I want because I asked him to. I come, I present my request to God, but the deal isn't, and I'll do what you said, Josh. It's, I'll give you peace. I'll give you peace. The circumstance might not change, but you will. The situation might be no different, but you will. Jude doesn't tell me that praying in the Spirit always allows me to control the world around me, to manipulate it to my view. It says it keeps me in the love of God while I wait. I don't know if you've ever thought about the fact that if everybody's answer to prayer was just yes, how mad a world we'd live in. Because while I'm praying for sunshine, farmers are praying for rain. Right? While I'm asking God to hurry these traffic lights up at times, other people crossing the road slowly are going, I hope these traffic lights don't change. The truth is, we've got different views at times about what should happen in the world. We've got different opinions about how things should work out. I obviously think I'm right, but so do you, in our differing views. So if God always just does what we all tell him to, what does he do? How does he pick? It's just an interesting thought to play with in your head for a moment. And I believe in miracles. And I believe prayer can change circumstances. But I pray on all occasions about every situation, not because I believe I'm going to control the outcome of everything, but because it does me good to come to the Almighty, to say, God, this is what I want. He does something in me as I come to him. He gives me something I need as I call upon him. I'm coming to him for him. Luke 22 and verse 39 says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. I think I spoke to you about this last July, but a number of you weren't here, so let me just recap or give you some thoughts. Jesus went out as usual. Luke 21 and verse 37 says that every night that week he went out to the Mount of Olives. He's faced with the cross, the biggest moment in human history. And every night he's at the Mount of Olives in the same place praying. It matters that you have a habit of prayer. Jesus, throughout his ministry, prays. I find it startling that the God-man prays. But again and again, he takes himself away from situations, isolates himself to go and be with the Father, to commune with him, to speak with him. And he prays and he asks, if it's possible, I'd like this to be different. He obviously doesn't say it like that, but if there's any chance we could do this differently, that'd be my preference. But he submits himself to the will of the Father. And in that moment, he is strengthened by an angel. He's given strength from heaven. To go through. The cross. Let me just say this. If you want to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, it's not going to be because you woke up and felt like it. It's going to be because you called on him in prayer, asked him to strengthen you, invited him to minister to you. And he tells his disciples, pray so they don't fall into temptation. This isn't that they're about to do something really nice that they shouldn't. It's not that they're staring at that large slice of cake going, whoa. This isn't something lovely in front of them that they might be led astray by. Right? Jesus is there in anguish, and he says to them, pray that you don't fall into temptation. What's the temptation? To walk away. To abandon it altogether. To give up. Where do I deal with that? In prayer? Where am I strengthened to carry on? In prayer. When I don't feel like I can face tomorrow, Where do I find the strength to deal with it? In prayer. When I don't want to get out of bed in the morning, where do I find the strength? It's not within myself. It's from Him. Living my life speaking to Him keeps me from falling. Faithfulness is grounded in prayer. And I need to pray because it does me good whether it changes the situation I face or not. I believe prayer works because I've never come away from prayer feeling worse than when I started. I've never come away from prayer feeling worse than when I started. Not because everything happened that I wanted to happen. Not because God always did what I asked Him to do. But because it made a difference for me and how I felt and walked. But here's the bit that matters. Because I think we understand prayer is important. That's, for a lot of us, been drummed into our lives from an early age. Sometimes we neglect the privilege of prayer, that we have the opportunity to call on God Most High whenever we want, and He's always inclined towards us, listening to what we have to say, is incredible. But we know it matters. But what Paul says in the second half of verse 18 is, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. It matters that you don't just pray for you this morning. It matters that you pray for each other. In view of the fact that I need to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power and put on the full armor of God so that I can take my stand against the devil's schemes, that I can be ready for when the day of evil comes, that I can stand in the face of an onslaught from the enemy. Paul says, in light of that, I need to pray for you. I need to pray for you. That what's meant to happen is I uphold you in prayer as you fight the good fight of faith. And that you uphold me in prayer as I fight the good fight of faith. And that we pray for each other. That we always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. That it's not just about the people in this room, but the people who are in churches across the city of Sunderland this morning. We pray for them. That the people who are gathered all across the face of the earth, worshiping this morning, we pray for them. That the people who can't gather for fear of persecution, we pray for them. And this isn't something Paul is just suggesting. It's something he demonstrates in almost every single letter he writes. Romans 1 and verse 9. Paul says, God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way be made open for me to come to you. He's always praying for the people he's writing to in the book of Romans, though he's never been there. He's always praying for them. Ephesians 1 and verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the working of his mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all ruler and authority, power and dominion, in every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord and in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Ephesians 3 and verse 13. I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. I don't know if, I love Ephesians 3:20. I think it's great, right? But what that is the end of a prayer that Paul prays for people because he is suffering. Is that not staggering? He's praying for them because he is suffering. And he doesn't want them to be discouraged by his suffering. So he's praying for them. Colossians 1 and verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you, in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Again and again, Paul writes to different communities and says, I have not stopped praying for you. I have not stopped praying for you. And the prayers are incredible. They're good prayers. They're encouraging. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. That sounds good. I'd like that for me. I want to bear fruit in every good work. I want to know supernatural power. But the truth is, very often our prayers are just selfish acts. And forgive me, but quite often when I bow to pray, I pray for me and walk away. The things that matter to me, pray for them. But I used to sing this song as a kid in Sunday school. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I can't remember the next bit. But I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. And there's something that I think we miss at times that matters. I am not alone in this. I'm not the only one. It's not just me. Very often in life, the way I walk is it's just me. And only I am walking through this, and only I am living with these. I am urged by Scripture to bear one another's burdens. It matters that I know we're together in this. That as I'm facing the challenges of the day of evil, we're together in this. That as you're facing the challenges of the day, you know I am praying for you. I am upholding you. You are not alone. You've not been forgotten. People are on your side. But that happens only if I consider you in those things, right? I have to be willing to pray for you then. It matters that I pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. But it matters that we pray for each other. And yes, I can pray for myself. And yes, you can pray for yourself. But there's something massively encouraging about knowing someone else is praying for you. That someone else is before the Father praying for you. I focused a little bit of our attention last week on the fact that Jesus is interceding for us in heaven. Because it does my heart good to know that he ever lives to make intercession for you and me. But it does my heart good to know there are people who are praying for me today. And so I want us to pray for one another as we live in the challenges of this world, as we walk through the difficulties of it. And let me just make an observation about the following verses we read. No one's too good for it. If the Apostle Paul says, pray for me, then there's none of us in this room who don't need to be prayed for by somebody. Right? I'm not too good for it this morning. I need you to pray for me. You're not too good for it this morning. You need people praying for you. And it will do you good. I need to shut up because time is gone. But we pray about lots of things. Right? There are all sorts of things that cross our minds at times. I wonder when the last time was you prayed for the Lord's people. For people who you sit beside week in, week out. For people you are in church together with. For people who belong to the family of God, who are walking out this journey alongside you. Can I encourage you to do so? And if you're not sure who's sitting around about you and how best to pray for them, then get to know them. It's a great opportunity. I've opened the door for you, look. I've told you you've got to pray for them. You go and have a conversation with them now and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'd love to stand with you through the journey of this life. I'd love you to know that we are united together in Christ and we're in this army together. And when you go to battle, I'll be going with you. And when you go to war, I'm fighting alongside you. And when you need something, I'll be walking with you. But let me say this other thing. I cancelled our Wednesday night prayer meetings for the past couple of weeks. Because I want to find a way that we can engage as many of you as possible in prayer together. And I understand that Wednesday nights might not work for you. So I'm going to send an email this week asking when does work for you. Now, please understand, if you tell me 4 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, we won't be putting on a prayer gathering. But I want to gather the Lord's people together so that they can pray and pray for one another, that you can walk away being built up, knowing that there are people in your corner fighting with you, contending for you, on your side. And so we'll find ways to try and make that work if there are particular times and days that suit you. But please respond to my email. Because I want this to serve you. Prayer isn't something I have to do. It's potentially the greatest privilege of my life. That whenever I please, any time of the day, any moment, I can turn my thoughts heavenward and he's available for me. He's never too busy. He's never preoccupied with something else. He's not distracted. He's available in those moments. And he knows and he understands. And even when I don't have the words, if I just groan the Spirit intercedes for me, if that's all I've got is a, he's got it. And he'll pray for me according to the will of the Father. Wow. I want to stand whatever comes my way. And I want you to be standing alongside me. I want us to be united together. I want us to know we're in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. But we need one another for that. We don't do that in isolation. So please, pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Shall we stand together and worship?